burger.
Oh my gosh. It is take 278. We have made it. We're here. Keeks and I are coming back from spring break, everybody. A lot of people are also on spring break, the Alpine School District people. So happy spring break to all those people out there. But Keeks is back from his trip. He has some big news. So without further ado, let's get into the big news, Keeks. Tell us about your trip. Sheet talk. Give the people what they want.
We last June, so for the past couple of years, Jack, for like the last 5 years, have participated in the 48-hour film project. And what that is you get 48 hours to make a short film. I think it at least has to be 4 minutes and can be no longer than 8 minutes. And we made one about a guy dating a ghost, and it's called Sheet Talk. And we won Utah's last year, which was really cool because it's like, oh my gosh, we get a chance to go to Lisbon. We get to go to Lisbon. And that was great. We're like, great, we're going to go to Lisbon. We're going to have a good time. We also, if we did well enough in Lisbon, we got selected as part of Cannes Short Film Corner and would become official Short Film Corner Cannes selection, like short film collection. We're like, oh, well, that'll be cool, but they'll only take a few, and there's thousands of entries. So, you know, we'll see. We were just excited to have a vacation in Lisbon. And it was funny because we're in Lisbon this last week. I guess these last, like, 10 days, we were all there. Me, my buddy Jack, who wrote it, my buddy Jake, who Jack directed, Jake wrote it, and then Isaac, my buddy Isaac, who was a student last year, that Jack was like, hey, do you want to like come PA and be a part of it? So he came too, and it was awesome because he's fresh out of high school and got to see these like film festival experience. And at Filmapalooza is what it's called. You could tell that people were there and like really trying to network and take things seriously, and I wouldn't say that we weren't, but we were there to enjoy the scenery, to enjoy Lisbon, and then also go to some other showings and, you know, kind of take a look at the situation there, you know, just enjoy our time. And we go to our screening, and it was good, but man, there were some really good films in there. And I'll talk about the biggest thing that I learned after I finished my story. And so we go to our screenings, we had a few other screenings, met a couple of people who were really nice. And we go to the award ceremony on Saturday night. And we're like, okay, cool. Award ceremony. You know, not expecting anything crazy. And the 25 winners go to Cannes. There were 12 special category winners and then 13 general 48-hour film festival winners. We were selected top 10. And we are going to the Cannes Film Festival as part of their short film corner in May. So of thousands of submissions, we were top 10 and also one of the 25 selected to go to Cannes. And the biggest thing that I learned during this whole thing is, and I know this sounds like kind of conceited, but when you're competing and when you're making films, everyone's like, you're looking to get those big opportunities to make big stuff and really create and make cool stuff and hopefully get paid. Kind of sitting here, it's like, okay, like Utah, like who's making stuff, who's doing really cool stuff, maybe California, places in the United States, Atlanta, Austin, back in New York. Yeah, the competition is definitely the rest of the world. And like, I know that that sounds stupid to realize, but everything from like international country, like international cinema was unbelievable at Filmapalooza. They were they had really interesting stories. They were all dramas. It was really, really interesting to see the difference of the quality of the United States ones, which were good compared to the international ones that were just like another level. And that could be that international competition, like they take it more seriously internationally than in the United States. I don't know what it is, but in May we will be going to Cannes, and you bet your bottom dollar that we've already planned our trip off from school so I can go celebrate the fact that we are in the Cannes Film Festival, the biggest and most prestigious film festival in the entire world.
Dude, huge. That is big time. So funny enough, I was looking at Cannes and I didn't know Cannes was like a city. I didn't know. I thought it was just like the term and like the name that they use for it. But lo and behold, it's a city.
It's like right by Monaco, which is a little country that's like very fancy country in Europe.
Man. Yeah, just right there in the southern region of France. Well, kind of more. Yeah, it's in the southern region of France.
It
The it's in
is that
the
close?
it's like the south, yeah, the southeast region.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
Weird.
honestly, we're just stoked because there's a good chance that we'll be able to go watch like the big premiere screenings of stuff. And we really hope that we get to do that and go watch Furiosa, for example, as part of the festival.
Dude, if you watch Fur every time I see the Furiosa trailer, man, I get so excited.
I know.
Just bring me back to more orange sand. I can't get enough. I can't get
We
enough.
found out what audiences yearn for this year, and it's just sand.
It
Movies with
is.
sand. Who would have thought?
You have Dune and freaking Mad Max, dude. Awesome. But first and foremost, Keeks, that is big time. Like, you're living the dream. You quit your job 4 years ago. And here you are going to Cannes, or I like, as I like to say it, Canes. Just go get some canes at
I gotta like flash freeze some Raising Cane's and bring it there and thaw it and eat it in can.
It's funny because when Keeks called, he called me at like, golly, it was like 3 a.m. there, I think, because it was probably like 10 or 10:30 when you called me in Utah time, and you're like, guess what, dude? We're going to Cannes. I'm like, let's freaking go. I was so stoked. I was like, dude, have a blast at Cannes. I said it like three times, and you're like, hey, it's actually called Cannes. You keep calling it Cannes. And I
I didn't know if it was like a bit. And so after a while, I'm like, I keep calling it this, and you're calling it this. And like,
oh,
yeah, I don't
man.
know what's really going on.
Well, let's go get some Cannes sometime this week to celebrate.
Oh, we got to do it. Get it nice by the district.
Oh, please. I'm in. Let's
Wow.
go grab some canes on Thursday or Friday.
Heck yeah. Let's do it. What a
Need it.
celebration. Yeah, I'm very excited. It's a massive dream come true and extremely like you obviously don't make things for awards, but it's nice to feel validated that what you're doing, you're
Totally.
good at.
Totally.
So yeah.
Are you gonna make Sheet Talk public so like all the suites can see it?
Yeah, we're gonna publish it. He's gonna get it. Like, apparently we could have published it the whole time, but the guy who's in charge of the 48-hour film project in Utah was like, hey, keep it unlisted. They have the rights to it, blah, blah, blah. And then we talked with them last week at the festival at the closing ceremonies, and the owners are like, no, yeah, you could have just had it public this whole time.
Oh, well, element of surprise, a little
Yeah.
secrecy.
So big thank you to everyone who's been so supportive and has been so cool and all the well wishes. It really means a lot. And we've been working hard. So Till Death Do Us Part is coming soon. We're already planning a light idea of what we want to do for the next 48. So we've got a lot of fun plans coming.
So when's the next 48-hour film project? Is it in June?
Let's see.
So do you guys already have like your storyboard kind of drafted up?
Kind of, yeah. We've got an idea of like a location we want to film at. And so that's kind of like what our big thing is right now. Let's see. Anaheim. Is this year? Let's see. Salt Lake City. It doesn't have anything. Yeah, it doesn't have anything.
No.
Yep, TBD. So I guess we'll find out. I guess we'll find out when it is.
Let's go.
But yeah,
Love it.
no, we're feeling good, feeling very excited.
Heck
Thanks
yeah.
for all the love and the
Should
support.
be. Dude, that's big time. That is awesome. And I love that you're just gonna go to Cannes and just enjoy. Just soak it
Yeah.
up.
Oh,
Like there's
yeah.
really there's no pressure of like your film because you've already done it. Like you've already went through the rounds.
Yeah, exactly. Like this is just going to be a showcase of all of the best ones at Cannes for, producers, whoever wants to come watch. And yeah, just get a nice opportunity to like network and go to different workshops and just learn a ton. So I'm super excited.
Just wear that sweet film talk hat for us.
Gosh,
SFT
I need to.
Productions. Look at, dude, making moves, dude. So cool. So cool. When you go to the Oscars, I would love to be your plus two because Becky will be your plus one. So let me be your plus two.
You know what's funny is so we're going to this Oscar qualifying film festival in LA called Holly Shorts, and four of the five best best live action short nominations also premiered at Holly Shorts. So who
Oh.
knows? It would be really, really cool and would make 2024 the most insane year of my life, but maybe, you never know.
You never know.
Exciting stuff.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah, quadruple crossing fingers.
Okay. Well, love it. Love the update. So epic. And another update is March Movie Madness.
Triple M.
Holy crap. That Sweet 16 round was one of the most fun I think we've had in a while with March Movie Madness.
Nuts. It's been
I was
nuts.
tracking that like a hawk. So let's give you all an update because all you guys are voting. We appreciate the votes. High volume, a lot of tough, close matchups. So let's start in the boomer region. In the boomer region, we had Star Wars advancing in the first round. We had 12 Angry Men. And then we had Psycho and Jaws advancing, Rocky and Grease. Grease was a nice little upset over 2001, A Space Odyssey. I'm not really surprised there. I think a lot of people have seen Grease opposed to 2001, A Space Odyssey, especially with, the suites. And I would say Grease is a little bit more nostalgic than 2001.
Yeah, I think keep going. What do you consider as kind of like being nostalgic?
To me, it's something like, out of the boomer region, the most nostalgic movie for me is easily Star Wars, but right there is Willy Wonka. Like Willy Wonka is very nostalgic for me. Like I remember watching that as a kid with like my family, I think like on Christmas or some holiday, and we watched it like a couple times growing up. So that's nostalgic to me. What's nostalgic for you? What's like the
Yeah, I think it just it has to hit you. I mean, it's weird to think, but when I think about it, it's like it's a film that reminds you of a simpler time.
Yeah.
You watched it at a simpler time, and this doesn't this could just be, you saw La La Land 8 years ago in like a very vulnerable time in your life, and like, wow, nostalgia, like La La Land is super nostalgic for me. Even though we were in our mid-20s, it
Yeah.
still means something for you. I think a lot of people think nostalgia is when you were a kid, but no, I think it's just something that you experience during a simpler time and it really sticks with you.
I think that's a that I do like that. Explanation because, for example, like Interstellar is pretty nostalgic for me. Like I remember going to see Interstellar with a bunch of buddies, and I remember like leaving that movie being like, "Whoa, like that was epic!" And then like I rewatched it, and like just I feel like that was like one of the first like theater experiences where I watched like a deeper film that made that kind of challenged me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And like made me really think about like time and like the people that and relationships we make. And so like the Interstellar really made me kind of think, and that came out in 2014, so that was only 10 years ago. So,
Yeah.
but that one's also very nostalgic for me. And like another one that I would say is like kind of nostalgic, wasn't on here, is like Wind River. Remember when you and I watched
Yeah,
Wind
dude.
River and we were floored and like how
Yeah.
good it was, and like that was kind of like our when we'd really started watching movies. So
Absolutely.
another one I'm going to go off of here. Another one that I always kind of think about too is Won't You Be My Neighbor? That's kind of a nostalgic movie for
Oh,
me.
sure. Okay.
Because it was like a matinee watch that you and I watched it. Like it was like on a Monday, I think. And I remember we were just like, what a sweet watch. So.
Yeah, and like we like left like
Oh.
sobbing. Like I left like sobbing.
Yeah. Last one, Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse, the first one. That was also very nostalgic for me as well.
Okay.
Because like we got to see it early. It was like I remember immediately after we potted in my car about it. Do you remember
Yeah,
that?
we did.
So
Yeah, we did.
that's also a nostalgic movie for me. That doesn't take me back to my childhood.
That was a really good one. I'm trying to think of recent ones. There's something about just like any movie we saw in 2019.
Totally. Yeah.
Like it feels like kind of Jojo Rabbit is in that era. Parasite, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Knives Out.
Knives
2019 was
Out.
just like kind of this, it was just such a great moment.
I feel like Knives Out from that 2019 year was the most nostalgic because that was our first Sweet Film meetup. It was a blast of a watch. Like the theater was packed. We had like 30 plus people pull through of friends and family. So that would, for me in 2019, was the most nostalgic and one that I like really remember very well. So yeah,
Yeah, and
love
I
it.
mean that was only like 5 years ago, so
Yeah.
totally a thing that nostalgia isn't just when you were a kid.
Yeah. Okay.
But
Love the
when it comes
clarification.
to the boomer region, because what you went over, and then Willy Wonka beat Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and then The Godfather beat Ben-Hur or Ten Commandments. And
Yeah.
honestly, from all of these, I thought that Grease was going to make it a little further had it not gone up against Rocky. I think Rocky, even though it advanced to the Elite Eight and lost to Star Wars, I think in another world, like in another kind of group doing this with, Rocky wins.
Yeah. Oh, I think Rocky is also very nostalgic for people. It's kind of the underdog story. It's the classic Adrian,
Yeah.
and it's the Eye of the Tiger. So there's a lot of iconic nostalgic moments in Rocky that, you can't forget.
But you have to remember, though, when Tiger, in which Rocky movie did it first premiere?
Say that again, sorry.
In which Rocky movie did Eye of the Tiger premiere?
It's not the first Rocky?
No, it's not. I
Oh.
believe it's Rocky III.
Really? Are you sure?
I'm like 90% sure. Hold on.
Does I
I,
have a...
because the song that's like dun, 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 that's in the first one, but
Yeah.
Eye of the Tiger was the theme song for Rocky III. I'm looking it up right
Yep,
now.
it's Eye of the Tiger. Yep, Rocky 3.
That's one of those Mandela effects that
Oh my
everyone's like,
gosh,
oh, it's in the first one. It's
that
not.
totally is a Mandela effect. Like where Darth Vader says, "Luke, I am your father." That's he doesn't say that.
Yeah, it's no, I am your father.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's a good Mandela effect.
Yeah, I know, right? I because
Yeah.
I always am like I think I only learned that like 3 years ago, that it's not actually from the first one.
Because yeah, you're right. It is dun da da dun da da dun da da dun.
Exactly. Yeah. From this one,
Dun.
any upsets, any surprises? I feel like it's pretty, like Star
Ah.
Wars is the one that's going to represent it. We called
Yeah.
it in the beginning.
Yeah. Star Wars didn't have any close matchups. Like it blew out Rocky, it blew out Jaws. So Star Wars is your region winner from Boomer, Star Wars A New Hope. So really, no surprise. I knew Rocky was going to beat The Godfather too in the Sweet 16. That wasn't surprising to me either.
Yeah.
So,
And then when
okay.
it came to Gen X, Raiders washes Breakfast Club. A Christmas Story barely, or no. Wait. Oh, Ghostbusters beat A Christmas Story.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, I gotta fix that in the bracket thing. Very surprising that Top Gun beats Die Hard.
Yeah. But I'm also not surprised about that one either,
I
because
guess because
Top Gun is iconic. Die
it
Hard is
is, but I
iconic.
think it's piggybacking off of Maverick.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
Because Die Hard is unbelievable. Goonies wins, of course, like we thought. E.T. wins, which kind of makes sense against the thing. Back to the Future, of course. Ferris Bueller beats the Terminator, and Empire Strikes Back beats Karate Kid. And that one has again walked into the Final Four. But what other surprises or anything that stuck out to you from Gen X?
I thought Raiders of the Lost Ark versus the Goonies was going to be a little bit tighter, but Raiders of the Lost Ark ended up washing the Goonies. I was one of those voters for the Goonies for over Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, I was too. But then when Raiders of the Lost Ark went up against Empire Strikes Back, I was like, I voted for Raiders because that
Yeah.
one is more nostalgic for me than Empire Strikes
Empire.
Back.
So we have Star Wars New Hope versus Empire Strikes Back, which is pretty interesting. I wonder who's going to win. I think I'm going to vote for New Hope,
Yeah,
but I'm
I'm
going to
too.
vote in the last like couple minutes. I'm not going to vote early. I'm going to like wait for like the last hour to vote.
I am kind of in the mindset of which one is going to beat Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, if any one of them does.
Well, we are going to move on to Gen Z and let's talk about that
Okay.
because woo-wee. So we have Fellowship of the Ring washing out Napoleon Dynamite, Ocean's 11. And the Prestige was actually a pretty tight matchup, but Ocean's 11 ended up winning. Shrek beats out Gladiator pretty handily. The Dark Knight, easy win over, I believe, it was Monsters, Inc. We had all these play-ins. I think we had 17 play-ins. Amazing.
That rocks.
School of Rock beats out Ratatouille. Pirates of the Black Pearl beats out Emperor's New Groove. Iron Man over Spider-Man. That was actually a little shocking.
Yeah, that was surprising to me too.
So Iron Man beats Spider-Man, and then Harry Potter Sorcerer's Stone against Revenge of the Sith, which the first, I think it was 40 votes for Harry Potter and Revenge of the Sith was close. Like, it was like Harry Potter was only up by like 3 or 4 votes with the first like 40 votes in, and then it pulled away. Fellowship of the Ring meets the Dark Knight in the Sweet 16, and boy, was this tight. This was tight. There was, I think, 10 minutes left. Dead even, like 50-50. And then we had two voters come in at the last final minutes, and they both voted for Fellowship of the Ring. And Lord of the Rings wins by 2 votes over the Dark Knight. That was a nice matchup. We almost honestly should have had the Dark Knight as like a 2 or 3 seed, and the Pirates of the Black Four as a 4 seed.
I think, but here's the thing though, is I feel like Pirates is more nostalgic for me than The Dark Knight. I don't know. That's a tough one. And for two, a Sorcerer's Stone, like Sorcerer's Stone was a, like Harry Potter is massive.
Oh, huge. That might be one of the most nostalgic movies for a lot of people. But we had Pirates, the Black Pearl, Pirates of the Caribbean against Harry Potter, Sorcerer's Stone. Another tight matchup. Very close. Honestly, we needed to ask one person to tie this tiebreaker. And that person went with Pirates of the Caribbean, the Black Pearl. This came down to an overtime matchup, and we acquired to somebody who I didn't know which one they would ask, and they went with Pirates. And then Pirates ended up losing to Fellowship of the Ring. Do you think it would have been close with Fellowship of the Ring against Harry Potter and Sorcerer's Stone?
I feel like no. I don't think it would have. Because if Sorcerer's Stone loses to Pirates and Pirates gets washed by Fellowship of the Ring, I don't think Harry Potter does much. Because like Lord of the Rings is like the grandfather of fantasy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be Lord of the Rings against Star Wars. I mean, we predicted that. But you never know. Jurassic Park, people, don't sleep on it. Which leads us into our millennial region.
Jurassic Park handily beats Parent Trap. I was kind of thinking maybe Parent Trap would have a chance. And then Titanic beats Nightmare Before Christmas, Shawshank over Jumanji, Home Alone over Space Jam, The Sandlot goes out over Aladdin, Happy Gilmore out. The first upset of that region beats out Goodfellas. Truman Show beats Good or Good Will Hunting beats Truman Show, and then The Lion King wins against Independence Day. A lot of very fun nostalgic movies in the 90s, and you just can't include all of them. I think that is the biggest thing, is you want to include a lot of them, but you can't. And was there any, like, when it came to like Jurassic, Lion King and Sandlot were really close. Sandlot advanced, beats Happy Gilmore, and goes to the Lion King, and the Lion King barely edges out the Sandlot.
Yeah, I'm glad the Lion King lost, because I like the Lion King. Don't get me wrong. That was our animated March Movie Madness winner, but I'm hyped that Jurassic Park is moving on to represent the millennial region. Jurassic Park is also a very nostalgic movie. Like, that has so many great sequences. I mean, the story is cool. Like, that is like easily a top five movie I can recommend to anybody that hasn't seen it before that will come out and enjoy it.
It's kind of the one that we've picked as what is the one movie you can recommend to anyone and they will like it.
Yeah.
And it's Jurassic Park. I think that is the best answer you could give someone.
Totally.
Because
Oh,
Fellowship of the
man.
Ring, you've got to watch two other movies. The Dark Knight, you have to have seen another movie, and then it comes with another movie. Like Jurassic Park exists in its own world that you can enjoy it. Yes, but like you don't need to watch them if you've seen Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it's true. Like Jurassic Park is a great standalone movie.
Yeah.
Like the
Yeah.
Fellowship of the Ring, once you finish it, you're like, okay, let's move on to Two Towers. So
Yeah, no
that
one's
does have some
clamoring to
appeal.
fire up Lost World after Jurassic Park ends.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, these are
There
our
you have
final
it.
four then. Is Star Wars versus Empire Strikes Back and Jurassic Park versus Fellowship. The dust settles, TC. What do you think's coming out on top? How's it looking?
I think Star Wars: A New Hope is going to win this year.
Really?
I was just going through our film franchise, and the film franchise was Spider-Man against Harry Potter in the final four, and then it was Star Wars against Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter met in the championship for the film franchise, and Lord of the Rings won. I think it was like by 5 votes. It was pretty close, if I remember right. But
Okay.
with the standalone movie, I think Star Wars is more, especially New Hope. I think New Hope beats out Empire Strikes Back. I think A New Hope is more nostalgic to people than Fellowship of the Ring. I think it's an easier
Yeah.
watch when you're a child, and I think more people, especially our sweets, have more connection with Star Wars and New Hope over Lord of the Rings. So I'm down if Star Wars wins. I already know Lord of the Rings is the film franchise winner. So I would love to see Star Wars win. That's why I'm not going to vote till like the last hour.
Yeah.
Like I love Fellowship of the Ring. Everybody knows that. It's my favorite movie, but I do love Star Wars, and both are like very nostalgic for me.
Yeah, because I mean, Lord of the Rings came out when we were like 8 and 9 years old.
Yeah,
So we were all, and I think a lot of our demographic were also really young when it came out.
Yeah. And like, man, that was a watch. I still remember I was in Mississippi visiting my grandparents when we went and watched Fellowship of the Ring. Like, I still remember that theater experience.
I mean, I
So,
remember seeing the trailer for Fellowship and being like, whoa, what is
yeah.
that? You know, like I had no idea what it was.
But I don't know. I think Fellowship of the Ring wins pretty handily against Jurassic Park. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be closer than I think because Jurassic Park is iconic. Like, that's a Spielberg classic.
Sometimes I think like, okay, it's gonna be close, but then I'm like, oh no, people like worship Lord of. I hope Jurassic Park wins because that one is much more nostalgic for me than Fellowship, but we're gonna see next weekend.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be Fellowship versus Star Wars, which I think makes sense to have a Star Wars versus Lord of the Rings. Like, I think that's going to be a blast of a matchup.
Yeah.
So we
Yeah.
will wait. Voting resumes this Thursday in the final four, and then we will have like a f we'll take Friday afternoon to put up the championship game so that can roll into Saturday, and then we can talk about the winner on Sunday.
And doing that, we'll
Quiz
do
format.
the what is it called? Oh, we
The
will do
quiz.
the question one. We won't do the poll, we'll do the question like you like. I think Maddie started that, so we followed after.
Oh, the quiz format
Yeah, the quiz.
where you select it and then it doesn't show the results of who's. Yeah, we'll do that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, we have some business down in the Florida Keys to talk about.
This is
We
maybe
have
the review that none of you guys were expecting, but at the same time, I like to take a no page out of the Red Letter Media notebook and just review a movie that no one thinks you're going to talk about. If you have not watched Half in the Bag from Red Letter Media on YouTube, you got to watch it. It's one of my favorite movie review like shows on YouTube. It's so funny.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, let's talk about Roadhouse. I've never heard of Red Letter. Was it called Red Letter Media?
Yeah, Red Letter Media, it's these three dudes. It's mainly Jay and Mike who review movies, and then their friend Rich Evans comes in and will review them with them sometimes. But they're just three dudes that have a really good following on YouTube, and they'll review movies, and it's like one of my favorite channels.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
I'll have to check
it's
them
super
out.
funny.
Okay, Roadhouse, a remake, a reimagining of the original Roadhouse that Patrick Swayze starred in, and it tells the story of Dalton Elwood Dalton, who is an ex-UFC fighter. He's kind of looking to find his way. He gets hired to go be a bouncer at this rowdy Roadhouse or bar. It's technically a bar. And there he experiences adventures and understands why the Roadhouse is such a target,
It's
directed
the
by Judd
stupidest
Wilder.
reasoning you could ever imagine, too.
And And the thing is, I have never seen the original one. I need to watch the original one to know if like that's the same story beat that's occurring. I have no idea. Keeks, what'd you think about Roadhouse? Now it's streaming on Amazon Prime, everybody, but it's a watch. So buckle up.
Yeah, the thing about Roadhouse is it's like it is the ultimate, you have to shut your brain off and not think about the plot to enjoy it. And that this is like the last step before I'm like, okay, this just stinks in a film. Like if it was even slightly worse, like if the action is not as engaging as it is, or some of the lighting isn't as, I'm just like, get this movie out of here. It's a D minus spoiled, just a bad time. But any movie with Jake Gyllenhaal in it is automatically going to be at least passable, even if it's not good. I mean, I went to the movie theaters and watched that Prince of Persia movie. So,
Yeah, I still haven't seen that, but I
yeah,
remember
I
that
watched
coming
it
out.
like because I was obsessed with those games when I was a kid and that movie came out. So I was stoked for it.
Yeah, I remember that coming out in theaters. I never got to it, but I remember, yeah, I was like, gosh dang, I never watched that movie.
Yeah, bizarre casting choice.
Totally. Yeah, Jake G, I mean, I'm a big fan of Jake G. A lot of the movies he's in are very enjoyable. I mean, I think, about Ambulance a couple of years ago, that was so fun. He does so well in Prisoners. He's great. And obviously Donnie Darko, one of his first roles. So, I mean, Jake G is a good actor. Like he is Nightcrawler. Holy crap. Creepy in that one. So,
Yeah.
but man, Conor McGregor, you can tell he had a good time. Very much over the top. I love when he's in the bar. Dalton, Dalton.
The thing
It's
about that
just,
is he says Dalton like 45 times in the span of 45. Like
I
he never
know.
changes the dialogue or the delivery of it. It's just the same cadence.
Yeah. I mean, I knew what I was getting myself into. It was a movie that I was like, okay, I want to watch this because I had heard like, it was a remake. I had heard that Doug Liman was really annoyed and ticked off with Amazon and the studios for not letting it go into theaters. There was some beef behind there. But like
Yeah.
now watching the movie, I'm like, okay, I think that was a good call to have it on streaming, which I'm normally always for to have movies go to the theaters, of course. But like
Yeah.
this, I was just like, this is a perfect streaming movie. It's a perfect movie just to throw on and stream, and you know what you're going to get yourself into. And I think the action sequences were pretty fun. I would say the fights and the use of the camera and the CGI were a little jarring and like sped up. It kind of threw me off. I didn't really love that aspect. But overall, like I did have a good time with it. Like I said, it's a really bad but good movie all at the same time.
It's for me, it's like I kind of see the camera movement was fun in a lot of those action sequences. Sometimes it felt a little out of place, but a lot of the editing in those action sequences reminded me of that one take in Extraction and kind of like the digital like one take editing techniques that were employed there. Like you can tell that there's CG going, and then in some moments of CG, it's just like, well, that's not finished. When
Yeah.
when his car gets hit by the train in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Or when he gets hit by the, or when he gets hit by the truck on the bridge, when that guy tries to knock him off, like, you know what I mean? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But I was dying when he slaps everybody at the first incident and then he drives them to the hospital.
And there's that one, what is it, Mo, the one guy who's like just kind of who's involved with all the bad guys, but
He's
he's
in a
kind of like a
cast.
sweetheart at heart.
Yeah, he's like, hey, man. He's like, don't hurt me. He's like, I'm leaving. These guys were, never my style. So, I mean, the story is pretty straightforward. I mean, it's just a bad guy that wants the property for where the roadhouse is, so he can be. Who's apparently pulling the strings from prison. Some of the dirty work because the villain on the boat, the Mr. Pretty Boy, who's also in Game Night. So fun to see him in a bigger role. Comes and does the dirty work. So, but I will say the last like 20 to 30 minutes where they're duking it out, like out on the sea by the bay, I thought it was a blast. I thought that was really fun
Yeah, I
when they're
mean,
on the
like
boats. So
that's what we talk
there's
about,
some
like
fun
the plot.
sequences.
the motivations are really flimsy. Like it's the last building that they have to tear down in order to build like this real estate development. And for me, it's like I put this in my Letterboxd review. I don't know like a lot of rich people, but a lot of like really rich dudes that I know that do like real estate, they figure this stuff out in like a week, and then they take it down in a weekend. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I'm sure there was, and like it's a dingy roadhouse. I'm sure there was some sort of health code violation that could have nailed them with, and then got it taken it down, and then just, bought the property back at a fraction of the cost.
Man, you know what I loved about this movie was whenever there was a fight occurring in the bar, you would have the band would still keep playing. Like they kept playing. And
Yeah.
I just thought that was so funny. Like I actually really enjoyed that feature of the movie. It's just like, yeah. And they had a fence that they were behind so they wouldn't get hurt. So I just love that they kept just going. They kept playing. They kept tickling the ivory, you know?
Yeah, they sure did. They were really locked in during those performances, which is admirable. That's something that you're looking for when you're hiring a band to perform at your establishment.
Exactly.
So I think for me, I have this at like a C minus suite. Conor McGregor, honestly, from what everyone had said, I thought he was going to be terrible in it. He's not that bad.
I agree. I actually don't think he's that terrible. Like you
Yeah.
could tell he had a good time.
Yeah. Totally. Like I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, when is this going to be like really bad? Like when is this going to be like Cara Delevingne in The Suicide Squad? And it's not. It's not ever really that.
Yeah. No, this is totally a watch. This is kind of like a movie that you get together with all your boys and you just open up some, you know, just some cold ones and you just enjoy a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Once March Madness is over, fire this thing up on a nice, Saturday night. Maybe do it as a preamble for a Halo night, and you're gonna have a
Oh my
good time.
gosh. Oh my gosh. This is the only thing we were missing from our Halo night the other night was just a nice little Roadhouse watch.
I know. I was very tempted. I was tempted. What did I almost want to suggest us watching the other night? But I was like, nah. I don't remember. We got there, and I almost said, "Oh, we should do this," but then I was like, "No, we gotta play some Halo."
Oh.
I didn't even see
I think it was
the.
a movie that you and I had both not seen. It'll
I don't
come up.
remember.
It'll come up.
Yeah, we'll
Was it
remember
Zone
it.
of Interest? No, that wasn't streaming.
No, it was like a funny, like goofy one. Like
Yeah.
like Godzilla versus Kong adjacent.
Yeah. But Roadhouse, I'm gonna give it a C plus. I think it's more on the I said sour, but I think it's more sweet. I think it is more sweet. So I need to go change that on Letterboxd. I think it is sweet. I think like my dad and like my father-in-law would love this movie. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
just especially if you watch the original, which I have not seen, so I gotta watch the original. But it's interesting because like the original has terrible reviews, but people love that movie too. Like it's just one of those cult classics. So,
I mean, it's good that it's getting a nice, got a nice little remake with Jake Gyllenhaal in it.
yeah, at least you have a star. You have like an A-lister. So,
I'm kind of curious. Okay, so I'm kind of curious. You got this one, Jake Gyllenhaal, Roadhouse. What the Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling? I feel like Ryan Gosling and Jake Gyllenhaal are in kind of similar veins. Why does it feel like the Fall Guy is going to perform better than Roadhouse?
Because The Fall Guy is a remake too. That's off of a TV series, isn't it?
I have no idea.
I think it is.
Is it?
Let me look it up. Hold up.
Yeah. Cause like I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal makes weirder decisions in thinking than Ryan Gosling does. Like Ryan Gosling is good at picking out roles and he's good at picking good movies. But at the same time, he was in Barbie, which like on paper shouldn't have been that good. Is he just elevating everything else to make it that good? Or is Jake Gyllenhaal so good that he can take pieces of garbage and make them passable? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, The Fall Guy is based on the television series. So it's a television series.
Whoa.
Yeah.
From 1981.
Yeah.
What? That's nuts.
I don't know. I think The Fall Guy is has more appeal because you have Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt who are very
Sure.
like A-listers, and Jake Gyllenhaal was the only A-lister. Not that that's like a bad thing, but I think this has had more marketing than The Roadhouse, than Roadhouse. But I think Ryan Gosling and Jake Gyllenhaal are underneath like the same they're kind of cut from the same cloth, so to speak. But I think Ryan Gosling has better comedic timing than Jake Gyllenhaal. I can't think of a lot of comedy movies that Jake Gyllenhaal is in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, Jake Gyllenhaal, like this movie also has a lot of one-liners.
Yes. Oh my gosh, when they're like, that key is out of when they're fighting, and he's like, that piano doesn't sound good. He's like, sounds good to me. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yikes.
Yeah, I don't know, like, not like a massive thing, but it is weird when they add in, and I guess maybe it's trying to be more of a like an like emulate that 80s aesthetic. Just didn't totally work for me a lot of the time for that.
Yeah. But yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal has done two Denis Villeneuve movies, and then Ryan Gosling has done one with
With
the
Blade
Blade
Runner.
Runner. Yeah. But I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal was so good in Zodiac. Like, I think that's probably Jake Gyllenhaal's best movie. I haven't seen
Man.
Brokeback Mountain. I've heard that's good too.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe The Day After Tomorrow.
Was he in 2012 as well, or am I on that?
No, I haven't seen Southpaw. He's in Southpaw.
Oh, I've heard Southpaw's good.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Everyone, go check it out.
Movies
If
rock.
you pack a movie and you want to watch it because you have Amazon Prime, go enjoy it.
It is fun. It does have some fun sequences. Like if you're, it's a good action movie. It really is. Like dumb action. Let me really coin it there.
Yeah, and
Oh.
honestly, like some of the action is good. Like some of the action is like really well framed. It's got some great, like the sound effects involved in the punching and the hits and stuff in the fights is very effective and like really, really hard.
Okay, I got to tell you something funny. So the original Roadhouse that was released in 1989, it has the same neon logo that the new Roadhouse has. I didn't know that. So there's that, the same like Roadhouse neon. But this is what it says from the original one on the poster. It says, "Dalton's the best bouncer in the business. His nights are filled with fast action, hot music, and beautiful women. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it."
Yeah, heck yeah.
I'm watching this soon. I have to give this a watch. Oh, I love it.
I think we've got to watch it by the end of the year.
Totally, totally. I
Definitely
have
by
to.
the end of the year.
One of the IMDb reviews
It
of the
literally
89.
popped up right after I watched Roadhouse. It's like, do you want to watch the original? And I kind of was like, ooh, I think I kind of do.
Yeah. Oh my
But I,
gosh.
you know, obviously I did not. I did the original one.
Love it. All right. Well, next week we'll have our movie champ, March Movie Madness champ reveal, and then we'll talk about Godzilla Kong potentially. I saw it. It was a blast. That one's really dumb too, but a
Yeah.
fun time.
I mean, next week Monkey Man is out. We could talk
Oh
about
my
Godzilla.
gosh.
There's a bunch of stuff we could talk about. All good things that we could talk about too.
And Ghostbusters: Shroud of Empire. We'll see if I get to that.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. New
Yeah.
Ghostbusters.
There's been a lot of things coming out here.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. We almost went and saw some things in Portugal, but there wasn't like Immaculate wasn't playing out there, neither with the Devil. And those are movies I really want to see. So I'm a little behind. I'm a little backlogged on movies. I got to get caught up.
Yeah, same here. So, but we're here, April. We're spring and summer around the corner. Let's go.
You gotta love it, baby. And
Gotta
March
love it.
Madness.
Movies are
And March
back.
Movie Madness.
Heck yeah. All
And we're
right.
going to Cannes.
Let's go. You're going to Cannes.
I can't believe
Sweet.
it. I'm so excited.
You gotta love it. Okay. Well, next week, take 279. Be on our Instagram for Thursday for our Final Four voting.
Yeah. And as always, everyone, please stay so sweet.
Sweet.